got your Bibles. We're on part four of God is good. All the time. There you go. All the time. Huh. Kaya, good to see you. Played hard yesterday. My kids love it when I stand right here because they can't see me. So we're going to have to move one of the rows out and push everything back. That way we got more room for the altar or what have you. John 5 says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, these are the feasts in Leviticus 23. The Sabbath, which is a weekly feast, and a weekly meeting for God's children to gather together to worship and glorify God, in which they called it the Holy Convocation. One of those was the Passover of unleavened bread. This is the Passover that began at sundown on the 14th day of the first month, and then on the 15th day of the month that Jews began celebrating the festival of unleavened bread. It continued for 7 days, and the bread that was eaten obviously did not have any leaven in it. Now, on the first day of the festival, everyone had to stop working because they were doing these things to glorify God, to honor God. They would bring to the Lord something of great value to be burnt as an offering, an unblemished, unspotted animal. Preferably one that wasn't on his last leg. You know, they kind of got blasted in Malachi, I believe, or Malachi or Micah, about their offerings, Malachi, about how they were bringing spotted, blemished ones that weren't truly great sacrifices, offerings. Then there was another one, is the Feast of the First Fruits. This was to let God know that they are bringing the best to them. Even when it comes to us, it's not just bringing the best, but we can do that as well when it comes to our first fruits of our increase. Now, I told you before, like, we've been given above and beyond when it came to our tithe and offering, my wife and I. Today, we ended up kicking it up another notch. So y'all better get in line, because I'm going to outgive everybody in here, because that's our heart. Not that it's a competition. The next one is the Feast of the Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. With all that was going on with Jesus, he was still going about preaching and teaching the word, and he never missed a beat when it came to coming back to Jerusalem. That was his thing. That was his custom, coming back to Jerusalem. He knew where he needed to be when it came to the Sabbath. He always made it back. Verse 2, it says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches." Bethesda basically means the house of mercy, the house of grace. God was very intentional in naming these places, wasn't he? Verse 3, it says, "And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Now, some translations, such as the New Living Translations, which I read out of a lot, doesn't have verse 4 in there. But when we read further down, like in verse 7, you will see that it was necessary to keep that verse in there because the man with the infirmity was waiting for someone to stir the pool. I don't know why they would take that out. You translators, put that back in. It says the blind, the lame, paralyzed, the sick, the deaf, anyone else that you can name, it doesn't matter. Jesus can and has healed them all who were brought to him. So believe it or not, we have some believers like that today that are waiting on God to do something rather than believing that he's already done it. It's already a done deal. He's already healed you. Faith takes what God has already freely given us. See, we don't wait on God anymore for things that he has already done. We don't have to wait on the angel to stir the pool, thank God. You don't have to wait on the next guy to start shouting and clapping when we praise and lift our voice to worship his name. We don't have to wait on that. We can just come right in and just roll. Let's go. Sometimes your faith can just lay there just like they were laying there. That man was laying there by the pool, couldn't move. See, your faith in God needs to be exercised. It said, in these five porches lay a great number of people. Many people brought their sick, paralyzed, blind, lame, all the family members that needed healing and just left them there on these porches. Some rotting away. Can you imagine the smell that was coming from that? Five great porches just filled with sick. And whoever got into the pool first after the angel stirred it up got healed. So who knows? Who knows whenever that happened and how often? You don't have to wait. It's a done deal. It says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. So think about the five porches and this man who wasn't like this from birth, but had this infirmity for 38 years, laid up by this pool, wanting to get in to be healed and failed for 38 years. Angel stirs it up, trying to get up, wanting somebody to bring him into it. No, I'm getting mine. See, Jesus knows all things. So in verse 6, he says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made whole? Well, he asked this man his question to stir something up on the inside of him first, to stir that hope of in God. See, this man wasn't just lying there on the inside. See, this man wasn't just lying down on the inside, but was lying down inwardly. He wasn't just lying down on the outside, sorry. He was lying down inwardly. His faith became dormant. And we don't ever want our faith to become dormant with God. God, I've been waiting for a long time. I've been waiting. Still hasn't happened. Get your faith acting on the word of God. Faith is voice activated. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. People, God has enough saving grace to help the entire world. He died. Remember John the Baptist, when Jesus was walking, John the Baptist was chilling with his disciples. And Jesus walks by. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Not the sin of the elect. Not the sin of people in haze. Of the world. Then he says this, then by the sound of my voice and by the resurrection power that lives in me, take up your bed and walk. Grab your belongings and walk up out of there. Healing belongs to you because God is a good God. He will always be a good God. Jesus' last will and testament was already dealt with. And the answer is a resounding yes. Does God want to heal you every time? Every single time. Every time. Doesn't matter what you have. Every time. Well, sometimes my allergies might be getting down to me. Why are you calling it yours when he says he bore yours? My migraines, it's not yours. It doesn't have a legal right into your body. So God heals every single time. He wants you healed every single time, but not everybody gets healed every time. So the question is right back to the people. Do you want to be made well? So if the Lord was asking you today, based upon anything that you got going on in your life, do you want to be made well? See? I don't know. I don't know if it's God's will or not. See, you start playing with that. You start reasoning out. And when we begin to reason out what God has already freely given us, we're not going to receive. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." See, faith superseded time. 38 years with this infirmity, and within seconds was made whole. Within seconds. A short conversation, which is what I like. He was made whole. And Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed by the devil, not God. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was a Sabbath. See, God doesn't want you getting used to living with all your problems when he has given you everything you need to walk in the fullness of victory every single day. Verse 10. It says this, "The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed.'" Now listen to some of the people who was trying to get this man to put down his mat, whom they had seen lying at this pool for 38 years. And then after Jesus had healed them, this is their complaint. "Take up your bed and walk." They're complaining about it's the Sabbath, and you shouldn't. Why? Because we're over here celebrating the festivals, the feasts. It was about drawing closer to God. It was about gathering together. It was about honoring him. It was about bringing the best. Jesus brought the best. They will be ever seeing but never perceiving. All they can do was point out what you probably shouldn't have been doing. And sometimes we can do that with God in our own lives. Or sometimes we can do that with other people in their lives. God has done some big time miracle, but we just point out the flaw. Yeah, but is it really? We got to learn to rejoice when people are happy. Be happy for somebody. Somebody buy a brand new house, you know the struggles they've been through. And they finally get their house and their dream home and stuff. Be happy. Yeah, but you don't know the struggle. You don't know what they've been believing the Lord for. You don't know how many tournaments they played in order to win player of the year. The frustration. What was that one? Hoisington. What was that one? Was that a good tournament? What was the bad one?
Like my worst tournament?
Yes.
It was at Dodge City.
What place you get?
Ninth.
They would have stopped keeping score from me. See, we don't know the struggles that other people go through. And when they finally get that release, they finally get that break. Yeah, but, see, they didn't really know Jesus. Never mind this man can live out his days serving and honoring God in the way that he was created to do. Never mind that Satan's works has been defeated yet once again by the way, the truth, and the light. Never mind the fact that Jesus worked a great miracle in this person's life in a matter of seconds. But I love his response. There was no need for debating with this man when it came to him. No need for silly childish mind games. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Take up my bed and walk. Some people believe that it is not God's will to heal every time. I disagree, strongly disagree, because of Scripture. not because of my feelings and emotions, not because of what I've seen happen in other people's lives, but because of the Word of God. Because the Word of God never changes. Truth never, ever changes. So no matter how many times you might be going through stuff, it's the same thing over and over again. The answer is yes. And amen for those who are in Christ. Anything that Jesus has provided for you through the cross, it's a yes. That's not something we have to fiddle fart around with. Is that even a word? I've heard it. Oh, that came out of nowhere. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." That word salvation doesn't just mean forgiveness of sins. It means protection. It means rescue. It means safety. It means deliverance. It means health. See, we can get to the place to where we can say, man, if somebody came up to you as a born-again believer and said, "I want to be saved. What do I need to do in order to be saved?" We'll share the gospel with them, no matter how long it takes, maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you can share what Jesus had done because it's been made available to him. Why? Because he came to take away the sin of the world. We can end up leading that person to Christ. But when somebody says and comes to you and says, "I want to be healed," well, I don't know if it's God's will. But he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Healing is for you. That's part of what salvation, that's part of the gospel. Jesus went around teaching and healing. He didn't just preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. He demonstrated it. We'll just preach it. The church today will just preach it with no demonstration. God's a healer because that's who he is. We got to stop turning people. The church has got to stop turning to other examples in life. They're not our example. They're not our standard. Jesus is. In other words, Jesus, who is being the brightness of his glory and the express image of God. If God didn't want everyone healed, Jesus would have said so and would have demonstrated that in his ministry. Acts 10:38 says this, "Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed some." What does that say? He divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed him. See what happens when you are truly equipped by God? People have been sent out without their full gear on. We're just going to go around and saving people. Awesome. But that's not what Jesus did. He preached the gospel of the kingdom and did what? And healed all that were sent to him. All that came to him, he healed them all. It goes hand in hand. You know, some people use a glove when they golf. Use a glove, Seth? Use a glove? Wes, will you use a glove when you golf? I know my boys do. They use a glove. Isaiah, do you use a glove? See, you use a glove. You use a glove, Richard? Yeah. See that glove? What it does is it covers both sides. Both sides. Now, I've been thinking about this. I said, if somebody does it, I want 7% royalties and a dollar for every one you do. But I was just thinking about a one-sided glove. That would just come on. Disposable. As you use it. Because sometimes that can get in the way. So if you do it, do it. But here's the thing. Jesus covered both sides. He preached and he demonstrated. He preached and demonstrated. He taught and he demonstrated. He teached and he demonstrated. I know, I said teached. That's a word now. We're just making up new words now. Just roll with me. Just let me flow. All right. He was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. Jesus healed all who were under the tyranny of the enemy, not under God. Because again, that would be a kingdom divided. Matthew 4:23 says this. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Luke 6:19. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Matthew 15:30. A vast crowd brought to him. People were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. Luke 17. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village there. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal all 10 men? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? See, he didn't go 7 for 10. He didn't go 5 for 10. He didn't go 1 for 10. He healed every last one of them. Matthew 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee, went down to the region of Judea, east of the Jordan River. Large crowds followed him there, and he healed their sick. Matthew 14:14. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14:35. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. Mark 1:34. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Luke 4:38. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and left her. See, some people believe that's why Peter denied Jesus, because he healed his mother-in-law. I love that joke. That's always good. It never gets old. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. See, their family members brought the sick to him. See, they no longer needed the 5 porches anymore. They brought them to Jesus. You no longer need that bed. You don't no longer need that great room in the front of the house or what have you, or in the back of the house. You no longer need that porch any longer. Come on now. He healed them all. He healed them all. Luke 9. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to do what? Come on now. It goes hand in hand, like a glove. Front and back. Now remember, when he sent them out, there was one father that brought his son back. And this son was suffering seizures and would throw himself into the fire. That demon would do that. And of course, the dad was asking, "How come? We brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." They got authority. But see, when they seen that happen, they kind of backed off. They were in unbelief. And of course, since God heals all, Jesus heals all of them. Who was brought to him, he healed them. And then the disciples later on asked him, you know, behind the scenes, how come we couldn't do it? He says, because of your unbelief. Unbelief is a killer, a faith killer, big time. In Mark 6, it says, 1-6, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, he's just a carpenter's son, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. They were amazed that they asked, where did he get this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? And they scoffed at him, talking about, he's just an ordinary dude, man. He had done all this stuff, all the wisdom that he had, and now they're over here saying, they just reason it out. He's just an ordinary dude. Ain't nothing special about him. See, we got to learn to run our own race. What God has set before us. They were trying to trip him up. Now I'm going to continue to read on with this, but here's the thing. If we don't run our own race, we'll get tripped up by the things of this world, by other people, what have you. There was a time when I was, we were in elementary, my brother's sixth grader, I was a fourth grader, and they got everybody in the upper grade. Lower grade was kindergarten through third grade. Upper grades were fourth, fifth, sixth. I'm in fourth grade. They lined everybody out. And it was probably about from the front door to that tree line, and then we had to run back. Who was the fastest in the school? They're gonna see. So we all had to run our own race. Lined up. I see my brother, a few rows down, a few people down. I'm getting ready. Take off. And he just takes off. He was just naturally buff. I mean, just gifted. Made me sick. He just takes off. And I'm running. I'm trying to keep up. I kept up with him for about 20 yards. And then everybody started slowing up. I mean, just passing me up. And I'm like, what is going on? So I yelled out to my brother, hey, slow down. Yeah. And he started slowing down a little bit. And he's like, man, forget this. Because everybody started catching up to him. He just took off and ran. And of course, he was dubbed the fastest one in the school at that time. But he had to run his own race. Now, I could have just sacrificed myself and just, hey, if I ain't going to win, nobody else is going to win. But see, that's not what God has called us to do. And sometimes we end up doing it. We got to run the race that has been set before us. Stay in your lane. Run your race. And if people want to come in your lane, help them to finish out. Because that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're helping people to finish. Finish out. And it says this, and his sisters, next verse, his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere, except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them, except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. Unbelief is what stopped him from being healed. Jesus wanted to do great miracles because that's just who he is. And he couldn't because of unbelief. Now, some people would get, I said, we can't get so caught up to where we say, well, I'm not an unbeliever. That's sin. Well, you're not perfect. There might be some times where you might be in unbelief in certain areas. I was in unbelief when it came to tithing because I didn't understand it. Caught on to it. Guess what? You can renew your mind. The young lady, basically on her deathbed, came to me years ago. She had had a child out of wedlock? How dare she? That's a joke, because I had to. But she was wanting to know what she was wanting to do. And I just basically told her, I said, listen, I said, and I shared what went on in my life or what have you. I said, you're going to love that kid more than ever. I said, because God's a good God, having a child is a blessing, not a curse. And eventually she kept the child. She's got 4 or 5 babies right now. But she's on her deathbed right now. And hopefully she's listening to this message. You don't have to pray that it's, Lord, if it be your will. It is God's will to heal you. And he already has done it. So we curse that cancer in your body in the name of Jesus. Right now. And we speak healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed in Jesus' name. And we're in agreement with you. So anyone else who does not agree with what you're believing for, and they say, well, we know if it's Lord's will, kick them out of your room.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to have to get bold with it. But anyone who speaks against the word of God and all the scriptures that I had just preached on, kick them out of your room because it's not worth it. You can love them later. God's word above anyone else. You know, Jesus had to kick people out. When he came to Jairus' house, right? He had to kick him out. Oh, how dare he? What unbelief is a faith killer? You still dealing with stuff? Or are you good? Why are you good? Come on. Came to my office and telling me he was dealing with some stuff. I said, got the right message for you. Now just keep coming. We love you, man. Just keep coming. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You got a good heart. Keep coming. God is good all the time, all the time, all the time. Dean, are we allowed to play videos over line? We get flagged? Well, let's get flagged. I don't think they're going to find us. So let them know it was my fault. But I want people online. This is about 13 years ago. Now, this pastor here, he shares a few things and what have you. He talks about the sovereignty of God. And again, he believed God is a healer or what have you, I said. But at the same time, a few things that he may say in the beginning might disturb you. But I like when God comes and just wrecks everybody else's theology. I love it. Just have a listen.
Jesus, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all my diseases. Every time. So that was the part I disagree with. He's a healer every time. Because otherwise that would have to change. We don't know what goes on in other people's lives and where they're at. But that doesn't change the character and nature of God. Lord, we thank you. We just lift you up. We glorify and magnify your name. Lord, if there's anyone here in this building, Lord, we just speak healing to them right now. If they hadn't already received it through the message. And even online for everyone who is listening. They don't have to deal with that depression any longer. They don't have to deal with anxiety any longer. We've all been there at times. We thank you that you are the peacemaker. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may stand. If you haven't been coming on Wednesdays, I'd like to invite you on Wednesday nights. Some good stuff. We're learning about the temple of the Holy Spirit. Keith Moore is the teacher. Make yourself available to that if you would. It's really good. We got some fill-ins and stuff like that so you can take notes. It's a really good time. If you got teenagers, bring them to R3. They got some great stuff going on, but more importantly, they're learning about Jesus. And if you got young kids, you got two of the most tender-hearted people back there working. Bring them in. Invite your friends and family to bring your kids here. Amen. Well, invite somebody out to lunch. God bless you. Be a blessing. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.